Accession number 32303, Real 1.
The name is Leslie John Audus, A-U-D-U-S. That's right.
And how old are you?
I can't remember.
Not to worry.
I was born in 1911.
1911?
Yeah.
So that's clocking them up, isn't it?
You could work it out from there.
What date in 1911 were you born, Leslie?
9th of December.
9th of December. Thanks very much. Which branch of the services did you serve in, Leslie?
Well, I was RFVR, the VRB Volunteer Reserve, RFVR, and I was trained at Caen, Yatesbury,
yes,
near Caen, C-A-R-L-N-E, I think it is, isn't it? Yeah. What else?
And what rank were you when you were captured by the Japanese?
I was flying officer, acting flight lieutenant. Flying officer, acting flight lieutenant.
Thank you. Leslie, how did you come to be out in the Far East? What was it you were sent out there to do?
To protect Singapore, Singapore Island.
Right. When did you go out there?
Oh, gosh. It was, gosh, no. I can't remember now.
Okay, not to worry.
Pardon?
Not to worry. Were you involved with some rather secret or experimental work?
Well, radar was regarded as experimental secret. And we were all told that the Germans didn't have the same facilities. They had no radar. And we believed it. But I believe after the war, it leaked out to me, anyhow, that the Germans did in fact have a radar, not the same radar, but similar radar, doing the same job, but with rather different facilities and equipment.
Right. What was it you were doing out in Johor? Before the Japanese invaded, were you involved with radar stations out there?
Yes, indeed.
What, setting them up?
Had
they got radar in the Far East? Or were you establishing it?
We were setting it up, we're establishing it, yes. Right. Yeah. I think my memory is rather poor, as I think there were four stations set up.
Right.
One was on the east coast, about 50 miles up north from Singapore. The other one was on the west coast, which was overlooking the Straits of Johor. And I was eventually posted to the latter.
Right. How did you come to be in Java? I understood you were taken prisoner in Java. How did you come to be down there then?
Self-enterprise, I suppose you might call it.
Don't worry. We can come back to that. Was I right in thinking that they were trying to evacuate you back to the UK?
No, they weren't.
They weren't?
No.
So I've made a mistake on that.
No. I managed to get away myself from Johor. Because I was, my proper station was in Johor, overlooking the Straits of Johor, looking south over the streets of Johor. And in some way or other, again, I can't remember now, but I got my unit back from overlooking the Straits of Johor back onto the island, back onto Singapore Island. And then my memory is a bit shaky.
Not to worry. Okay, do you recall being taken prisoner, Leslie? Do you remember what happened around that time that the Japanese invaded? Do you remember where you were?
Gosh, all this I've written down somewhere.
Oh.
It was quite obvious from the beginning that our rice ration was not going to be sufficient to maintain our proper levels of vitamin intake, because there were virtually no vitamins at all in the polished rice which we were given to eat. Mm-hmm. Polished rice and occasionally a few green vegetables. So the idea was to reserve a small amount of rice from the main supply and use it to as a medium on which to grow yeast. That was the basic principle.
Yes.
Because the yeast would synthesize fairly high levels of the beta vitamins, that's what we were deficient of in our normal diet from the Japanese. They gave us polished rice and green vegetables with a relatively low vitamin B content. Mm-hmm. And the idea was to boost that content in some way. One way, of course, was fermentation. But I must have written this down somewhere.
Oh, you certainly have.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed, it is well documented. You're quite right.
Yeah.
Did the Japanese know that you were doing this work? Did they agree to it? Or?
Strangely enough, they did. They realised the importance, at least in the particular camp I'm thinking of, they realised the importance of vitamins. They realised also that yeast could produce vitamins, and therefore they promoted our use of yeast, our use of rice to produce a little extra content of vitamins.
Yes. And did they benefit from this additional source of nutrition?
They may have done, because on one camp, the sergeant major in charge of prisoners insisted on having an issue of yeast, that's the suspension of yeast in water.
Right.
For the Japanese soldiers.
Right.
We used to supply them with a large bottle or bottles of yeast suspension.
I see.
Which we'd grown ourselves. These bottles of yeast suspension were actually given to the Japs. And at the beginning, they apparently welcomed this addition to their diet, but after all the interest lapsed, and they stopped getting it.
Right.
I think I've written this down somewhere.
Oh, yes. It's well documented.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just going back before the war, Leslie, Could you tell me something of your work pre-war? What were you involved in?
Well, I did my own research, and I've forgotten for the moment what it was.
You were a biologist?
I was a botanist, yes.
Botanist?
A plant physiologist, yeah.
Where did you qualify?
In Cambridge.
Right. And where were you working before the war? Were you in Cambridge? Or?
No, I was in Cardiff.
Right.
University College of South Wales in Monmouth here. And I was appointed to an assistant lectureship there a few years before the war started.
Right.
And when the war started, I continued to teach for the first half year during the war. And during that time, I offered my services to the RAF. I wrote... No, that's wrong. This again is written down. I approached my old tutor, who in the First World War had been responsible for the design and construction of camouflage, to camouflage guns and things like this. And I wrote to him saying, look, with my background, I think my qualifications would be useful in supplying the kind of information on camouflage and so forth, which would be very useful to the Allies. And I got a reply back from my old tutor saying that he put my queries back to the Air Ministry and I'd hear from them. Now, in fact, in due course, matter of weeks, I suppose, I was called to the Air Ministry, and my position was discussed openly before a handful, I think it was about four, RAF officers. And they said, well, that's fine, but we don't really need anybody with your qualifications to look after camouflage anymore. Would you be prepared to do some equally important work in the Air Force? And I said, yes, fine, anything that I can help, I'd be only too glad. So they said, well, there's a secret device, or a secret devices, all right, yes, I suppose, which has been developed in this country, which would be very, very useful in getting early warning of German air attacks. And I said, yes, I'd be happy to do that if I'm any good. And that meant that I went into the RAF as a radar officer.
Right.
And that was my job.
How interesting.
Radar.
Yes.
I was CO of a radar unit.
Where was that, Leslie? Do you remember?
I was CO of a unit training just outside Aberdeen, where there was not really much call for early warning systems, because they really seldom raided, but down in the south, give them early warning of approaching enemy aircraft,
yeah,
and directing fighters back to intercept.
Yes. Yeah. What was the name of your tutor that you had contacted about offering your services?
Hampshire Thomas. Dr. Hampshire Thomas.
Thank you.
FRS, etc.
Thank you. Can you give me some idea of the medical staff that you worked with, some of the things that you were involved with them, or any particular characters you recall, either in Java or in the Spice Islands? You were working alongside the medical personnel.
Yes, we had close contact. Oh, very much so. Coffee, of course. Wing Commander Coffee, officer group captain Coffee, the senior medical officer in Java. No, sorry, in the Far East.
Mm-hmm.
That's Coffee.
Yeah. Where were you in camp with him?
In the Hoka Boka School. Hoka Boka School. Hoga Burgher School. School.
Where, was that in Java?
That was in Java, yeah. Okay.
Were you working on the yeast production while you were still in Java?
No.
That happened later.
Yeah.
Were the doctors in the camps you were in the Spice Islands?
Oh, yes, there were. Oh, yes, of course.
Yes.
The structure of the various units that travelled from Malaya out to the to Java and other places, they had a balanced set of officers and men. There was always a medical officer and one or two medical orderlies to look after the medical side of things. Yeah.
Can you recall?
I can't remember for certain who did the choosing. Who was it that ensured that we had qualified medical personnel with us in the various camps? I think it must have been a mixture of the Japanese precautions and the English doctors.
Right.
Made certain that in some way or another a crew, to coin the phrase, a crew of medicos went with each draft.
I see.
Yeah.
Right. Were you yourself working as forced labour? Were you doing the physical work when you were in camps? Were you out on working parties?
You mean as a prisoner?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What sort of jobs did they have you doing?
Well, on the whole, the Japanese had a setup where any gang going out to work on any site, no matter how large, had a proper component, medical component with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it meant that any prisoners requiring serious medicine had somebody available who could speak to them directly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Understood.
It.
Were you doing things like building airfields, that sort of work? Was that the work they got you involved with?
Yes. Yes. Anything to do with military activities.
Yes.
In the occupied areas. Oh, yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you yourself suffer illnesses, Leslie?
Yes, well, I got very impaired eyesight, which is a direct result of low starvation diet.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened in about the second year, I suppose, as a POW, my eyesight went. Strangely enough, it didn't get worse than it is now.
Hmm. And did it recover in time once you were back in a normal...
No recovery.
No.
No.
The impairment was permanent?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In that caricature you showed me, you were wearing spectacles.
That's right.
Were you able to keep those? Or
yeah.
Because some people have told me that the Japanese would often enjoy destroying things like
that. Yes, that's right, they did. But with me, I must have been lucky.
Did you have trouble with Japanese guards? You're quite a tall man. Some people have told me that was a great disadvantage with the Japanese.
Yes, that's right. If any kind of misdemeanor on the camp, any breaking of any rules on the camp, and the squad which was responsible was lined up before the Japanese guard, and each person slapped. A mighty great slap around the ear, or the bang, wallop.
Mm.
And of course, I suffered like the rest of them. I happened to be in a gang and was clouted.
Yeah.
It never went beyond a clout in most cases. Although there were, I believe, somewhere in a book that I've written or read, there were people killed by beating.
Yes, yeah.
But not in my... not to my knowledge.
I'm just looking through now some beautiful illustrations, caricatures that you have done whilst in captivity.
That's right.
Where were these done, Leslie?
It'll tell you.
In the Hogaburger School.
Yes, I think it's up here.
This is Yarmarkt.
Yarmarkt, yes, that's right.
So this is flight...
Yarmarkt, you know what Yarmarkt is?
No.
It was the annual trade fair. Dutch for the annual trade fair, Yarmarkt.
Yeah.
And it was held in a very large... oh dear, what's the word I want?
There's another Yarmarkt. Flight Lieutenant Owen. Aggie,
that's right.
Aggie Owen. This is wonderful. You're very talented. These really are extraordinary.
Don't get them out of kilter.
No, I'll try not to. No, here we are. So this is Flying Officer Montgomery.
That's right.
RCAF.
Royal Canadian Air Force.
Right. Is he playing a ukulele or something then?
Yep, he had a homemade ukulele.
He made it himself?
Yeah.
Goodness me.
Jones, Corporal, not Corporal, Flight Lieutenant Jones. Perky little man.
Yes. You've put here in your description a rather strutting gait.
That's right.
And then
Hawkins.
Lieutenant Hawkins?
Yeah. He wasn't really a lieutenant, but he was put into canvas and given a provisional title. Mm-hmm. So the Japanese would classify him as a prisoner.
Right.
And leave him with his...
This Flying Officer Jim Randall.
That's right.
Is he RAF? Oh yes, RAF, Jim Randall.
He was Australian, really.
Mm-hmm.
But he joined up with the RAF in Singapore. Left Australia and joined up and into the Air Force.
Right.
In Singapore, yeah.
I see.
Eric Wisdom, is it?
Yes, Wisdom.
He was regular. He was a regular Air Force.
Yes. You say here, why did I make a caricature of him? Because in his comportment and in his dress, he reminded me so much of General Gordon. Especially his old-style pith helmet.
Yep, that's right.
You've got a wonderful moustache. Eric Wisdom.
Dick Page.
Okay, what about him?
A handsome Adonis of a man. He must have been a wow with all the girls. Fraser, I think, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Know anything about him?
No, except he's Works and Bricks.
What does Works and Bricks mean, Leslie?
People for the building and maintaining of aerodromes and associated buildings.
Righty-ho.
Kolb? No?
Row. Cheery natured and fond of his food.
Yeah. Martin. All the way from Harrow, I think.
Right.
A young Works and Bricks man.
Uh-huh. Wing Commander Ross.
That's right. Regular Army man. Regular Air Force man, I mean.
So he was older than most of you, was he?
He was in his late 50s, I would have thought.
Yes, you say here, being elderly, he was, and senior, he was left alone by Ono Gunzo, the Japanese.
Ono Gunzo. Yeah.
Was he one of the...
He was the little sergeant, Japanese sergeant in charge.
Mm. What sort of character was he?
Well, interesting you should ask. Right, because he's always going out of his way to fraternize with prisoners as far as he can do it without, you know, making a fuss.
Yes. Did you have any bother with him?
No. Well, I was always bother.
Yeah.
But not serious.
Okay. Flying Officer Bill... Is it Lutchford?
Lutchford, yeah.
A Canadian?
Canadian, that's right.
Uh-huh. These are absolutely splendid illustrations, Leslie. They are extraordinary. Have they ever been published?
No.
No. Pilot Officer Methley.
Methley. From Durban.
Right.
Yeah.
Harland,
cigarette man.
Right.
Worked for ICI.